Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, how's it going? It's Mikey B. I've taken over the motherfucking show. Are we here?
Play good to go, do my track.
Trippin', I ain't even mad. The last nigga pissed me off, but we ain't got a bag. Yeah, travel the country, ain't that what you asked for? It's over for your ass as soon as I get my passport. Gave faith to the non-believers. I used to think it was all just hating, y'all some underachievers. The Lord came in the flesh, and you rejected. You wishing you can come back now, you're not accepting. I'm down the ride, yeah, I got petrol. About the house with the pool, the money was sitting in that scroll. Damn, got them wondering how I bubble. You gotta run your marathon, you want to honor Nipsey Hussle. I'm doing good, yeah, I've been getting guap ever since I put the rock down. I ain't gotta take a shot, like it or love it, I'm feeling like fuck it. Backstroking in the money while me screwing me duck it. Damn, I'm getting money, I don't care what y'all think. He ain't never in the hood,
he ain't never at the bank neither.
What's the difference between me and you? It's for selling myself a strip, I get paid to pop shit, P. I'm getting money, I don't care what y'all think. He ain't never in the hood,
he ain't never at the bank neither.
What's the difference between me and you? It's just so much sauce drip, I get paid to pop shit pieces. I'm a real one, ain't nothing left to tell ya. A lot of those outside celebrating failure. Many a call, you were chosen. Light shining on me heavy.
Hey, what it do, what it do, what it do. I know this might be a different switch up for y'all. You know what I'm saying? You're used to hearing Big Bap come on and introduce the show. Well, it's the Mikey B takeover. Yes, it happened. It's going to happen. It's going to happen a couple more times. Don't think that it's not going to, you know what I'm saying, have Big Bap, your favorite people on here every night. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to get this shit popping. We're going to get this shit going and get this shit moving. Let me go ahead and do a Big Bap do. I'm going to take over. It's the Mikey B takeover. You know what I'm saying? So he likes to talk about him having a new child and, you know what I'm saying, everything like that. But I want to bring up something that Wendy brought up. You know what I'm saying, last week, with taste buds beyond your nuts. It was, yeah, that shit's real. Fuck with it. That's all I'm going to say. So we're going to bring in the man of the hour. Now, when he introduced me, you know what I'm saying, he told you about something big, you know what I'm saying? No, what really happened, Clark Kent walked in the room, and it went zoom, zoom. You know what I'm saying? So this is what we're going to do. We're going to bring in Big Bap. I'm going to bring your host. I don't want to hold you up for too long. Big Bap, you there?
Bruh, you already know I'm in the building.
Now, you in the building. You know what I'm saying? You know I like to go Barbara Walters. It's 2020. You know what I'm saying? So, I got a couple of questions I've been wanting to ask you since it's the Mikey hour for a second. So, I remember in your last time when you brought me in, I think, yeah, you brought me in, but you said this Big Lip, you know what I'm saying, nigga, he had to be eating pussy or had a big dick. Now, what really went through your head? Now, that's the commentary. What really went through your head when you really saw, because you know, she had thickness. You know what I'm saying? What really went through your head at that time?
Well, let me start it like this. As y'all already know, this is the Big Bap and Friends show, so I need you to open your mind. Pour you a nice little drink, remove all your clothes and get comfortable and lay back because we're going to entertain you just a little bit. So if you go back to the story that I was telling that day, I walked into the classroom after being told by somebody else that Mike just took your woman. And I said, listen, can't nobody take what won't belong to me. she got to want to go. And they was like, no, no, Mike a smooth-ass kind of brother and this and that. And I said, that's nice, but he ain't me.
I don't mean to cut you off right here, and that's not where I wanted to go. You know what I'm saying? Because I remember, and this is what you didn't tell in the story, you was going to try to beat me up, bro. I remember that. You was going to try to beat me up. This motherfucker here.
So I'm getting there. So I slide over and I go to her locker because she's still at her locker at this point. And I'm like, so I heard we're not together no more. Well, it's not like that. I said, no, it's either we are or we aren't. You can let me know right now. I'm good either way. And so she was like, well, I mean, I said, I'm good. I said, I'm going to just go take this nigga head off. Right? So I proceed down the hallway. So, you know, I got the entourage of all entourages following me at this point. So I open up the classroom door. The teacher looks at me. Here's the craziest part about this, right? Now, imagine this. Now, we're in high school. We're not just at any high school. We at a military high school on a military community post. And I just bust in the room, and I'm like, so who's Mike? And the crazy part was not that there was anything bitch about you, because, you know, most dudes would have bitched up a little bit real quick. Like, he was like, I'm Mike. And I looked at this. I said, this funny head looking... Oh, get the fuck out of here. This nigga either eating pussy with them big-ass, fat-ass lips, or he fucking the shit out of. Here's why I know this to be true.
I did both. Okay, I want to say that.
Here's why I respected you. And I want you to understand this. Because, see, a lot of people are going to believe, or based off of past experiences that they believe us to have had, and think that I am supposed to be the complete antithesis of you.
But you are, though. You are.
No. Here's why you're not.
I'm tall. You're dark, I'm light. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're totally
here's why you're not an antithesis to me. When I walked into that room, you manned up. There was no bitch in you. There was no, oh, I can run over this nigga. Now, would I have attempted to fight you and go through you, bruh? I feel like in my heyday fighting, you got to understand, you've known the niggas I've knocked out. In my heyday of fighting, in my mind, I'm Mayweather. I'm Sugar Shane. I'm Mike Tyson. Like, I'm whoever you wanted the greatest to be in the 90s. I was that dude.
Wait a minute. I got man talk for you.
Yes.
Deion Wilder or Mike Tyson? Which one do you go? Hands down.
Tyson.
Who would win in a fight?
And they prime
Tyson.
And they're prime Tyson.
You think Tyson would be Wilder?
And they're prime Tyson.
Wilder.
Prime.
Me and my guys today, you know what I'm saying? We literally watch both their films next to each other. And Mike Tyson, yes.
Would kill him.
The combinations were fucking disgusting.
Would kill him. It's not even a close fight. Prime. We're not talking about how people like to take everybody's complete legacy and say, oh, at the end of his legacy because he lost to those people and this person and that person. Mike Tyson coming out of the Olympics going pro would have killed Deion Wilder today.
Prime time Mike Tyson. Man, he would technically break that man apart.
He would kill him. I would love
for a Deontay Wilder fan, and I'm a Deontay. I love Deontay Wilder.
I love
but
Deontay Wilder.
Mike Tyson, you know what I'm prime, saying?
Because no.
Tony Ferguson no. has no chance.
No. So let me explain that. So when I saw you and you was like, bro, first of all, I'm a man first. I was like, you know what? I'm a respect dude. If that's who she want to be with, I'm not an ugly. Look, at the end of the day, I said to myself, I'm not an ugly dude. And I'm out here. I can be fucking. And if you ain't fucking, Look, I have a motto. Either we fucking or I'm fucking.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, but see, at that point, me and her had never slept together. So at the end of the day, if you already dicking her down, hey, bro, go ahead. Keep, you know, do what you do. I'm not even mad at you because I promise you, she's going to be mad that she never got there. Oh, she's going to, like, she enjoyed what she got from you, but I promise you.
It was a challenge to take. It was a challenge to take. And that was my friend at the same time. You know what I'm saying? I just had to do what I had to do. You know what I'm saying? Because what you don't know is over another guy that had nothing to do with you. You know what I'm saying? And he actually put his hands on, you know what I'm saying, on her. When he did that, you know what I'm saying? When he did that, I, you know what I'm saying, I did what I do. You know what I'm saying? And then when I did what I do, everybody's like, oh, why'd you go, you know what I'm saying, why'd you go so hard in the paint for her? You know what I'm saying? And I was like, man, it is what it is. And then they brought you up, you know, Donald Young, da 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 da. You know what I'm saying, baby, you know what I'm saying, whatever. I was like, man, I don't care. He's gone now. Because remember, you had graduated at this time. As soon as you graduated.
No, I ain't graduated.
There's another woman before that.
Yes.
There's another woman who's before that.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yes. But see, here's the thing. Here's the thing, though. The reason why I never looked at you like that is here's the absolute truth you got to understand about yourself. People are so busy worried about everybody else. But when you truly look at it when it's about you, what do you know to be true about you is what I knew to be true about me. I love anything, everything that loves me. But nobody is a threat to me. The only way
I do want to say this. Grown men, even from a high school status, let me finish. Nobody would think that Big Bat and Banks, honestly, would actually get on the group, get on whatever. And if you are from FCHS, Fort Campbell High School, and you know between Big Bat and Banks, there is no reason why we should be doing what we're doing right now. And see, this is where I call, you know what I'm saying, growth. This is what I call evolution. You know what I'm saying? This is surprising evolution. Because me and Big Bat, you have to understand, we have stories on stories that we can't even tell y'all. One day, you know what I'm saying, we'll just do the Big Bag of Bake Show. I'm not leaving Wendy out. I wish you, Wendy. Wendy needs to be. Where's Wendy?
First of all, let me mute your mic for a second. I'm gonna mute his mic because first of all, you can't even do her like that. First of all, let's give her respect first. First of all, her name is Du Fay. Fuck. Let me bring her to the mic right now. My girl, all the way out of California. Wendy, no, that's not who you are. You say fuck, welcome to the Big Bap and Friends Show, my love. How are you this evening? Tell me about how you are right now, love.
The first of all, you know, as always, I'm awesome as fuck.
Yeah.
No complaints. I'm awesome as fuck. And being someone who has heard this story personally in production meetings, we both know where you both have gone. Okay, so we both know where you have both
Bring
have gone
it down. Bring it down.
With this situation, and we both know that we're just gonna be you say fuck right now and just reflect to her as the person that you say fuck would, and we just gonna say the hoe because she was fucking with another. So we're just gonna say that for lack of a better way to call her. She was fucking with maybe unknowingly two friends, but it still don't change the fact that she was still dealing with two different niggas. And what I want to know is at this point, because I've heard this story, but what I never knew is what was the age range of this particular story. And what I want to know is, because now I feel I need to form a different opinion because I don't know what this age range was. I just automatically assumed it was high school, but I want to know from both of you what age range this was. So can somebody tell me that?
He was, if I'm not muted, he was older than me. He was the older classman.
And I want to say I was either sophomore or a junior.
You were a junior. You know, if I can say facts, you were a junior. Tasha, said she was a sophomore. I was a freshman.
Okay, that's the order.
No.
And that's the order that went down. You know what I'm saying? And then we get to Tamika. You know what I'm saying? That's a whole nother.
You putting too many of my skeletons out there, bro. You need to get out of my closet.
Yeah, hey, man. Hey, man. You know what I'm saying? Hey, if we can't talk about it on the Big Bap Show, where are we going to talk about it?
You know what tone just popped in my head? And I bet y'all remember this. I'm sitting here like, who's that peeking in my window? Big Bap as a teenager was hell on wheels. Understand. Like, let me tell you something. We had a dude in our school. His name was Mayfield. He had just got out of jail.
Understand.
This dude came out. He came back to high school, 20 years old, prison swole.
But did he not? Wow. But he got some pussy. Man, he pulled. Man, we already saying names, and we don't want to get too deep in the names. You know what I'm saying? We've already dropped too many of them. But you know, remember, he dated the twin. Remember, he dated one of the twins.
Let me tell you something. I beat the brakes off that dude simply off of the fact that he told everybody in the community that he was going to put his hands on me because I rubbed up against one of the twins' booty. I'm like, wait a minute, bro.
Hey, Don, man, okay. I went to your high school. All right, bro. We was in high school. Man, all right. Try to tell me, man, come on, bro. Bro, you wasn't trying to get that a grown man. He was 24. You were like,
grown man. Wait, what?
He was going to give you the hands, bro. He was going to give you the hands.
He was how old?
Mikey B.
He's like
here's 22, the crazy part.
23.
Do you not know I fought that dude?
Grown ass man. He was a grown ass man.
Did you kick his ass?
No.
You said you fought that dude.
That fight never happened. What fight never happened? You didn't fight Mason.
Okay,
when?
You better go ask about me.
Man, I don't remember the fight. I was there for every
matter
fight.
Let me tell you how this went down. So he told everybody at the school when he saw me, he was going to put hands on me. This is how it went down.
I remember that.
Me, James, and Ruben. Okay, so remember the story I was telling you about stealing my mom's car?
Yeah.
So here's the ending of that story. We was coming back on Pulse. Now, remember, I lived in Hammond. So we was coming through gate five instead of hitting gate six. Okay, so as we coming around the big circle around Hammond, you remember where Shakira and everybody stayed on
Hey, Big Bap, no disrespect, man. A lot of names, man. Dropping too many names here, okay?
Bro,
you know what I'm saying? I gotta keep my. I'm trying to keep my presence up. Hey,
how
you doing? My name is Mike.
This story is verifiable. No, because let me say this. This story is verifiable and witnesses. James and Ruben were my best two friends in high school. When we came around that corner, James said, bro, there go Mayfield right there. I said, no problem. I jumped out the car. This was one of the few times outside of school he was by himself. We jumped out the vehicle. I said, guess what, bro? It's on. You said it was on site. It's me and you. You ain't got nobody here to protect you. And these two gonna make sure that it's fair. And when I tell you, I dusted him right there on the side of the road, got back in my car and drove home. When my mom found out what happened, I didn't even get a spanking because I had stole my mother's car.
Thank you.
Saying no. Right.
That nigga said it.
Back
thank
in high school, SPHS days.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Back,
I'm going to let
okay,
that slide, but okay.
You wasn't saying, like, okay, I got one for you. Remember Voodoo? Remember Voodoo?
Now, who was that?
The white girl. Yeah, I said the white girl Voodoo. You know what I'm saying? The white girl. You remember, it was, man, okay, we're old. Okay, this is during Columbine times. You know what I'm saying? This is, yeah.
Oh, no.
Remember Voodoo? Remember Miss Sawala's class? Remember Miss Sawala's computer class?
Bro, I never took none of those classes with y'all.
I'm saying, okay.
Here's the thing you got to understand.
Okay,
He
just mentioned something. He's from Hammond Heights. You guys have to understand that Hammond Heights, they had two-story houses. This motherfucker has a kitchen. Too bad. These Hammond Heights, you know what I'm saying? I was in Pierce Village, okay, where we have not that shit at all. None of that. You know what I'm saying? None of that. And then, I'm Hammond Heights, bro. No. No. You know what I'm saying? These motherfuckers had, they were privileged, okay? People talk about white privilege. People don't know about nigger privilege, okay? And Big Bat, yeah, he was a part of nigger privilege. You know what I'm saying? He was a part of DROTC. This nigga, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm telling you, he had all black privilege. All he had. All he had. And then niggas from
Pierce
Village.
You're not going to talk about it. You know what? You're not going to talk. You know what? You are not going to talk about me.
Like,
I didn't go through the shit.
No. Let's talk about it for real. You were close to Lee Village. You were in the Burbs. That's the Burbs. The Burbs are the close. Hammond Heights, you guys were the closest to Pierce Village, where I was from. And then y'all didn't want to come over there at all.
Right,
you would come to go see Pop. I was, you know what I'm saying, Hammond Heights was, it was like the kind of black, you know what I'm saying, any black people that are listening, you know where you go where a nigga smoke weed and drink, but they still got to get up and work in the morning. You know what I'm saying? That's that area. You know what I'm saying? That's that area. You know what I'm saying?
And
Donald, he came from Hammond Heights. Hammond Heights.
Mm-mm.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Listen, we got to break this up because we got other stuff to get to tonight because we definitely got a major topic that we're going to get to. But before we get to this major
topic,
we are going to first have a little quick song come in, and then we're going to get to our guest of the evening. This young lady is definitely someone that I want to present to you guys, and just we're going to get a little background information about her and just catch up with her a little bit and see what she has going on. So in the meantime, in between time, we're going to drop a little sounds for you, and then we'll come back on with our guest. Let it go. Like I just let it go, and I'm hoping you guys are enjoying this show tonight. I'm not sure what you guys are drinking on, but I have me a nice little drink in my hand, and it's definitely a nice little clear drink. I'm not going to tell y'all what it is, but it does definitely have me feeling real good tonight. But enough about that. This young lady that I'm about to bring to you has become a good friend of mine over the last year and some change. And I've loved her commitment to the word. And I know a lot of people think when I say the word, I'm talking about the Bible, but I'm not. I'm talking about the art of words, spoken word, written word, musical words. This young lady is a believer in communication. She loves to see not just communication abroad and across different spectrums, but she loves to see communication derived from the Black culture. So for most of my audience, I will be presenting for you to hear for the first time a young lady by the name of Miss Tania. Miss Tania, nice having you on the phone tonight.
Hello. Hey, yeah, good evening. I'm happy to be here.
Good evening. Good evening. It's good to have your beautiful voice on the line with us. So before I get into the whole greatness of what it is that you do, first off, I'd like to say thank you for being our first guest on the show.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. Okay. That's what's up.
So before we go into all the stuff we're going to talk about, the first thing, tell me a little bit about you. Just give our listeners a little bit of your background, where you're from, how old you are, and what got you into your love of words.
Well, I'll be 40 this year, so let me knock on wood. But I'm originally from Mississippi. I now live in the Florida area, in the Tampa area. I have one son. He's 7. He'll be 8 this year.
Your baby King.
Mhm. Yep, my only one. I guess that's pretty much it. I have a job. I'm a parent. I also have a business, and I have my expo that I'm doing here.
What's your business?
I have an online bookstore. Yeah, no, it sounds good. Thank you. Yeah, I have an online bookstore, so I do that. I also handmade stationery and things like that. So I enjoy doing it. I've been doing it for a couple of years now.
So if I can mind to ask you, what's the ups and downs of your bookstore? Like, what's the ups and downs?
Huh?
How does that play out?
The
ups and
downs
of your bookstore. Let's talk about more. Yeah. You have a legitimate business that you're running right now. And so let's talk more about that. What's the actual name of it? Is there any links or anybody where they can go and find you, come spend some money with you, pay that gas money?
Yeah, the website is wowbookandtoy.com, and the name of the business is Wonders of the World Book and Toy Store. The ups mm-hmm. and downs. Oh, bless you. I guess I would say, only because my focus or my target audience is the Black community, because I feel like I feel like we're ignored in the publishing industry. In mainstream literature. So I really try to make sure that I go and attend events that is going to reach, you know, Black folks. So that's a really,
right.
that's a big up
that's
for me.
Right.
You know, I love doing that. It gives me energy. I feel like it's, you know, a passion of mine. The only downside I feel like, besides just the downside of being in business period and dealing with, you know, the business side of things, is that
sometimes
I feel like we as a community don't put enough attention on
effort.
Reading, you know what I'm saying? Like I'll go out and do events and
come
things
on
like that. And, you know, they'd be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to get my baby some books, you know, this and that. And they'll be like, oh, let me get your card, to have a website, whatever. And be like, yeah, sure.
And do nothing with it.
you know, and then the next time I see them, they're at the paparazzi table or they're doing whatever, whatever, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, you know, I have no offense to anybody else or any other business, but I just feel like I really wish there was more love shown to books and to kids who like to read, and I wish that was more of a thing in our community. So that's the only downside I would say.
Okay, so if you were
to pick
five
books.
Oh, my
God, that is so freaking awesome.
Okay, five books.
I'm sorry, Mike. Go ahead.
That is so freaking awesome.
Our mind and our planto is on the same freaking space.
As a mother, as a black woman.
Hold on, guys.
What was the question?
I muted everyone for a second because right now I'm going to do some housekeeping. We have to give her an opportunity to speak so we can hear clearly. We do want our audience to hear us clearly. So let's take the time to put a pause in between so that our caller who's calling in, our guest call in, can get her words out clearly and our listening audience be able to hear her. So let's be respectful of the time we have and go one at a time.
Okay, so now that I'm unmuted, I want to say that I totally and completely, what you're saying, I'm completely and totally for it. And I personally just want you to explain it further so people can understand and see where you're coming from. As I got it from the first beginning, Mikey B, I interrupted him, so I don't know what his stance is, but I know me personally, I just want you to explain it more and so our audience can get to understand it. If you can do that, and then once you're finished doing that, you can go for it with him and see what it was that he had to say, because we actually might be on the same plateau.
Well, I mean, I guess the only add-on is that you hear the saying a lot, if you want to have something from black folks, put it in a book. You know what I'm saying? And we've been hearing that for a long time. And I hate that saying. But then, too, only because I'm in the business now and I've been out there and seen, you know, a little bit of it is kind of true. You know what I'm saying? Because I really don't feel like we put there's, you know, tons of black readers out there, black book clubs, you know, black bookstores and everything like that. But I really don't feel like as a community we put enough focus on or attention on, you know, reading or literacy.
Come on with the truth now.
Kids get picked on because, you know, being a nerd or that kind of a thing, talking white, acting white,
oh my God.
You know what I'm saying? Things like being smart and loving books and, you know, wanting to get lost in a library, stuff like that is kind of looked down on a little bit.
Come on now.
In general, and I hate generalizations, but part of it is kind of true.
But it is what it is.
Right, it is what it is. You have to be honest with yourself and with your people. And so that's really part of my business, and, you know, that's a passion of mine, is just exposing people to the idea of books, you know, period, in their lives. It doesn't have to be boring. It doesn't have to be about slavery. It can be fun. It can be exciting. You know, it can be enriching to your lives, to your children's lives, and that's my whole thing.
So, you know what? Can I tell you something? Wait a minute. Let me say this. Can I tell you something? You know, when it comes to our radio show, Mikey B, he's the level-headed, you know what I'm saying? They're both business guys, but can I tell you, basically, what I'm saying right now, what you're saying is, and please forgive me for going so ghetto with it, but I don't know to be nobody but myself, but hell fucking yes. That's what the fuck I'm talking about.
Am I still muted?
No.
Baby, come, yes.
I don't know what else to say,
but yes.
Am I on the radio? Is Mikey B
right
here?
Right there, Mike. Bring it in, baby.
So first, let me talk to Miss, you know what I'm saying, Usain real quick. Your strength and your passion is fucking awesome. That's fucking amazing. You know what I'm saying? There's a certain type of level of a man that can deal with a woman that comes that passionate and comes that type of confidence about who she is. Now, to speak to what, you know what I'm saying, Miss Man was saying, there's a lot of different black people. It's a tree. It's a branch. You know what I'm saying? There's all different branches of black people, you know what I'm saying? You get to the kind of the rot root, you got niggas, you know what I'm saying? You got everything down there, you know what I'm saying? So when you talk about black culture and reading and growing and actually expanding yourself and evolving, I really like what you were saying. So I'm still going to present this question because it wasn't answered. Top five books, because you are a mother, that you feel that every black person should read to their children.
Oh, gosh. That's really hard. I wouldn't necessarily say my top five books, because that's kind of hard off the top of my head. But I would say there's definitely some authors that I think people should read. You know, like people like James Baldwin, Toni Morrison, Nikki Giovanni. Who else? One of my favorites just personally is Walter Mosley. Number five.
Go ahead now. All right.
Yeah, I'm actually reading one of his books now. My favorite author. Let's
have you ever read any Donald Goins?
I'm sorry, I shouldn't have spoken over you, but at the same time,
I have heard
that
one, but I haven't read it.
I'm sorry.
Well, Donald Goins is a very he's a street artist. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever seen the DMX movie Never Die Alone?
Yeah.
That was based off of one of his books. Very dramatic tale, but I suggest that if we're going to do literature, we're talking about black literature. Kwame, there's a lot of people who talk about the now instead of the then and still bring up the then from the now. But at the same time, we can still be educated. Another documentary that I would give people, go check out Mahafa 21. That talks about a lot of things to let you know where your black women came from. And how they actually built up from the time that you know your grandmother or your mother. You know what I'm saying? So when it comes to those type of subjects and those type of things, I believe all black people should be educated in what they need to do. But I get a little bit deep from that. I think that we need to kind of step out of the stereotype, the stereotypical, you know what I'm saying? And the barbecues, the this and that, like less.
Well, Mike, now that you
I love my ribs. I love all that, but like, come on, man. We only know why Big Mama died in soul food.
Well,
we know why Big Mama died in soul food, and we suffer this diabetes. We suffer from this. I mean, Cro-Magnon belief that niggas got to be niggas all day.
The thing about it is that in black literature, there's so many different genres that I think we get hung up on this stereotype that reading is nerdy or whatever. But, you know, there's urban literature, there's poetry, there's, you know, fiction, nonfiction, mystery. You know, we've written all types of books, all types of genres. So I feel like no matter what kind of person you feel like you are, hood, bougie, whatever you want to consider yourself, there's a book out there for you. So it never has to be something that is looked down upon or nerdy or this or that. You know what I'm saying? We've done it all, and I just feel like people need to be exposed to, you know, different genres of different authors and things like that. So I think that's a great point too.
Well, one of the things that I love about what you do, which is what actually prompted me to bring you to the show, is the Black Expo that you're doing. Can you go into a little detail about the expo that you're going to be having, I believe, at the end of April?
Yeah, it's April 25th and 26th is the second annual Tampa Bay Black Authors Expo. And the goal of the expo is to really just highlight and celebrate the diversity and the wealth of black literature, black creativity that is here in the Bay Area. When you think of like black book fairs, you think of like Houston, Atlanta, Miami, you know, different places, but you don't think of the Bay Area. And I think that's a shame because there's a lot of talent here. We have a lot of great authors who just need to get exposed, you know, and to have somebody even pick up a book and know, you know, hey, I'm here. So that's the goal of the expo. We're in our second year. We've expanded to 2 days, and we're in a larger venue, so I'm really excited about that. We've got some things that we're working on, you know, to really make this event, you know, special and attractive to, you know, all types of readers and all types of authors. And yeah, I would love everybody to come out and, you know, see what we got going on down here. The goal is really just, like I said, to celebrate and highlight what we've got going on down here. And just for authors to realize that as independent artists or as black creatives, sometimes you may feel like you're alone or there's nobody out there doing what I'm doing. But I want them to realize, you know, we can all be successful together. We can all come up together. You don't have to be in this alone. We can, you know, network and grow as a group, and we're stronger together. You know what I'm saying? Didn't have to be a crabs in a barrel mentality when it comes to being a successful black person. You know, we can do this as a group. We can all come up. And I really want this platform to be not just an event about selling books, but I want it to be a platform for all of us in the area to get, you know, resources, to find a community, to know we're going to share their stories. So I really have long range goals for it, but that's pretty much the next one in a nutshell is 2 days for people to come out and experience what we have going on here in the Bay Area as far as authors. We have all different genres from erotica to nonfiction, insurance books, financial literacy, comics. We, you know, all kind of stuff. So any kind of book
can you
would like.
Can you give a little more detail on what's going to be going on? Like, what type of booths will be there? Like, what's like, okay, day one, I'm coming down there. I've never been down there. What's the first booth that I should walk up to?
It isn't necessarily so much booth, but we're going to have, you know, authors who are going to be vending. We're going to have, you know, at their tables. So, like I said, the first day is going to be dedicated to children's authors or children's book authors. We're going to have a cosplay contest that day. We have a sci-fi panel planned for that day. So we've got Jeff Carroll, who is a screenwriter and author. He's actually have a movie out now on streaming platforms, The Death Panel. He's going to be coming down, and he's going to be giving a presentation on black sci-fi. We have a panel planned after that with a comic book author and another lady, Cheryl Battle Maxwell. She's a sci-fi author. They're going to be having a panel. And in our main hall, like I said, there's going to be tons of authors there who are going to be, you know, sharing their stories and selling their books. It's going to be, like I said, the first day is children's books or children's authors. So I'm excited about that. We have a cosplay contest. The second day is going to be dedicated to all other types of literature. Like I said, erotica, you know, fiction, nonfiction, anything you could even think of, that's going to be the second day.
And these are all local artists?
Yeah, they're all, you know, authors from here in the Bay Area, from Tampa, Orlando, you know, all Bay Area authors, local authors. Yeah, so they're your neighbor, they're your friends, they're people you may know, and they've written a book and they want you to know about it.
So is this event on Eventbrite, Facebook, Instagram? Like, where can the listeners go to go get more information about this event?
Yeah, we're everywhere. It's on Eventbrite. We have an official Facebook page. My own business, I'm sharing it on my platform, so on Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, we're everywhere. You can just search for the Tampa Bay Black Authors Expo, and we'll come up. I have some appearances coming up to help promote the expo, you know, as we get closer to the date. So, yeah, we're everywhere you could even think of. Just Google us, and we'll come up.
And we definitely on this show will continue to just promote that for you. The fact that we're giving our young authors an opportunity to present themselves and be there. I know myself personally, this is an event that I'm going to be traveling to with my family. And we're definitely going to get some, you know, some fun pictures and different things of that nature, just so we can come back and, you know, tell more of the story about what we saw and what happened. And I want you to be able to come back later on in the year and, you know, not only just talk about the experience that this one was, but to also prepare us for next year's show. Because I do believe that this is something that, you know, like you said, you have a long range vision, and we should be more than helpful to use whatever platforms we can to increase literacy within the black community.
I appreciate it, and I love it, and I'm very, you know, I love it. I'm very happy about that.
I really appreciate you coming on and talking about black culture literacy, because it's the most thing that we need to really start happening in our community. You know what I'm saying? And really start growing inside of that, because reading is knowledge. It might sound corny, but it is true.
Right, exactly. And especially, you know, with the babies out there, you know, they go to school, but they may not necessarily learn what they need to know. And it's important that it starts from home. You know what I'm saying? You got to have a proper foundation in order to grow off of. And we need to be the ones providing that, our voices, our stories, you know, our words. So, yeah, that's what we're trying to promote.
Amen.
Well, as
it.
We end this, we're going to shift into some other things. We're going to keep you on the air if you would like to chime in as our special guest today when we get to our main topic. We will definitely be bringing
it's
you back.
Wild. I'm telling you, it's not going to be as sophisticated, buddy.
But we are getting ready to jump into what I like to call the main heated night discussion. It is going to get interesting. It's going to get fun. It's going to get a little radical. But before we get into that, I'm going to go ahead and let you guys slide into a nice little theme song for our main topic today. Sorry, I think I lost you guys for a second. For some reason, we were disconnected. But we're about to shift into our main topic. And our main topic is going to be a topic that is going to push your boundaries. It's going to test everything that you know to be true. It's going to affect you in a way that is going to send cataclysms of good thoughts, bad thoughts, and confusion running through you all at the same time. Because we all like to enjoy this one thing that we call equally free. We all believe that we must push past all things being separate to make all things equal. So today, I challenge you to assume that all things are equal. I challenge you to accept that all things are possible, because those are the principles that we found and shape our beliefs off. So here's the question that I proposed to my co-host in production. And I asked him this very eloquent question. Can you have sex with a handicapped person?
Am I here?
You're here.
Can you hear Mikey B on this?
Can you have sex with a handicapped person? And here is why.
Can you hear Mikey B? Because I'm going in on this one. Can you hear me?
And yes, we can hear you. The reason why this question was posed was because we was having a very open-minded conversation. And the conversation that people don't realize is we have literally said that all things are equal. But when it comes to certain things, we push back against that norm. We look at not all things being equal when all things are directed specifically towards certain topics. So now I challenge you, before we get to Mikey B, I want to ask Wendy, you say fuck. Here is my question to you, ma'am. Are you vaginally inclined to have sex with a handicapped person?
No, not at all. In no way, shape, or form. No. My answer is no, 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 and then a little bit no.
So
I'm going to need you. My answer is no.
What if he's blind?
I can openly admit. Okay, look, let me say this. I can openly admit, and I'm willing to take the backlash from it, but I can openly admit I'm going to need you to have all of your limbs. I'm going to need you to be able to walk on your own. I'm going to need you to not have a milky eye. I can openly and willingly admit, and like I said, I'm willing to take the backlash from it, but my nigga on everything, dog, I'm too motherfucking shallow for something like that. The only motherfucking disability I can do is being ugly. Anything else? The only disability I can do is being ugly. But other than that, I'm going to need you to have all your limbs. I'm going to need you to have all your digits. I will not fuck a nigga in a wheelchair. No. I will not fuck a nigga that has one stab in the eye because I done fucked up and somebody stabbed me in my eye. No, just like no. And I'm sorry. And guess what? Like I always say, I don't give a fuck who agrees with me, because guess what? I agree with me. He asked me personally, could I do it? And my answer would be no, 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 all the way around the Monopoly board, nigga. I can hit motherfucking Broadway, nigga, and it's still no.
So your vagina is not handy capable.
It is not. It is not. No. I will not do it. And like I said, I can openly admit, I'm too shallow for that.
I disagree with that. Wait a minute. What if he's deaf, but he got a whole bunch of money, and he got sign language?
I would not give a fuck how much money he have, because guess what? His disability is going to present himself first. It's going to present itself first. And I'm not going to be able to get to the money. No.
What if Ilja was blind? And he has to feel in your titties every day.
A blind motherfucker. A blind motherfucker. Nigga, no. No. Just no. No. Like I said, I can openly admit and I'm willing to accept I'm too motherfucking shallow for that. The only disability I can do, like I said, is ugly. That can be your only disability, is being ugly.
Bro,
anything other than that, my nigga,
hey,
I can't fuck with you.
You'll see, you're sitting here with the two assist crew. My nigga just said, out of the blue, he said, broke is a disability. Do you agree?
So if a nigga can't handle his own horse, you're cutting him off.
I'm talking about physical disability. I'm talking about physical disability because guess what? Ugly and broke is the same disability. It's something that you can't. Nah, my nigga. Nah.
You don't
say
broke is a disability?
Nah. No.
As a woman, as a black woman, as a strong as a black woman, passionate black woman, is broke. Not a disability.
It's not just being a black woman. It's not just being a black woman because guess what? Regardless of what race I am, regardless of what race I am, trust and believe, I'm not the only female. I'm not the only female out there who feels that way. I might be the only female who actually speaks up on it, but I'm not the only female that feels that way because like I said, nigga, I'm going to need you to have all of your motherfucking digits. I'm going to need you to have all your fingers. I'm going to need you to have all your digits, all your toes. You can't have no milky-ass eye. I don't need you to be blind. I don't need you to be in no motherfucking wheelchair. I'm not fucking with it, my nigga.
Now, I'm saying, I brought up last week. You know what I'm saying? The homeless nigga in front of Starbucks. Now, imagine that he got all his digits. He's a cool-ass nigga, but his only disability in life is he's broke. He got no money. He's in front of Starbucks asking you for change.
His only what?
Well, you know what I'm saying? His only disability is being bum. He's broke. He has no money. You know, would
yeah,
you
that comes with me being
up?
Shallow. That comes, that's all in the line of me being shallow. That falls in the line of me being shallow.
So,
I openly admitted
so.
That I was shallow. So the point that you're getting ready to try to prove, let me tell you, don't waste your breath. Because unlike you, my nigga, I'm fat and I need all my motherfucking air. Don't waste your breath, dog.
His only disability, he'll just have a outside. You know what I'm saying? He's broke. He can't do nothing. His only disability is being broke. Would you take him home and clean him up? He'll just have a Will Smith, whatever
I will not.
Nigga you think it is.
I will not.
You wouldn't take
I will not. I will not. But guess what? We're talking about physical disabilities. I will not. But guess what? We're talking about physical disabilities.
But physical and mental disabilities.
Mental. Mike, you know me. A mental disability? Nigga, we is not finna motherfucking work on everything.
What
we
if,
is not finna
if,
work. A mental disability? Come on now.
Wait a minute. What if radio, buck teeth and everything, you know what I'm saying? His SSI check is like over a quarter million. And he's going to get that audio.
Fuck his check.
And you're not going to take none of that?
Fuck
you're
his
gonna,
check.
Gonna, radio.
Fuck his
radio.
Check. Because guess what? Guess what? Fuck his check, and I'm going to tell you why. Fuck his check, and I'm going to tell you why. Because guess what? Me being the person I am and me being who I know I really am, first and foremost, we wouldn't even get to his check. Because like I said, nigga, once I feel and see your motherfucking disability, I'm not fucking with you. I would not give a fuck on everything, my nigga. I would not give a fuck.
Okay,
you could
so
be Obama in this bitch.
Where do you, okay, so where, as a woman, where do you draw the line?
As a woman.
Disability? No disability? Or is there
a okay, as a woman, okay, we
that.
Don't go from there. As a woman, you ask me, where do I draw the line on disability? Now, I'm not going to answer you as a woman. I'm going to answer you as women, as Wendy, as you say fuck. Because most people, they have difference. Me personally, I don't need no milky-ass motherfucking eye. I don't need you to be looking at me with one hazel eye and one milky motherfucking eye. I'm not fucking with it. Okay?
Yeah, you
I'm not
nigga.
Fucking with it. Okay? I'm going to need you to have both your motherfucking legs. And if you got both your motherfucking legs on everything, nigga, I'm going to need you to be able to walk on them.
You didn't fuck okay? with some Fast and Furious, some Fatal Man.
Okay?
Damn,
I'm going to need you to have all 10 of your fingers. And if you have all 10 of your fingers, I'm going to need all 10 of them motherfuckers to work. You can't have no motherfucking colostomy bag. I don't do, and I openly admit that. The only disability or handicap I could do, my nigga, on real talk, is being ugly. And I feel being ugly is a handicap because you got to work harder to get at the pussy. the most regular niggas do. Regardless of how you dress cute and all that you got going on, because I love a nigga that dress cute. Bap can tell you. I'm a sucker for a nigga with gear. I done gave pussy up to niggas just because they dress cute. Bap can tell you that, because he don't got on me about that. I done gave pussy up to niggas just because they dress cute. It's happened. But as far as what the world considers to be disability or what I consider to be disability, my nigga, no. And I openly admit I'm too shallow for that. And I, like I said, like I always say every show, I don't give a fuck if nobody agree with me, because guess what? I agree with me. I cannot do it. Like I said, I'm going to need you to have all your limbs. I'm going to need you to have all your motherfucking digits. I'm going to need your eye not to be motherfucking milky. I'm going to need you to be able to walk on your own. All of that extra shit. I'm going to need that. All the shit that everybody else, including me, takes for granted, I'm going to need you to be able to do it. Because if not, guess what? I cannot, will not fuck with you.
Watch how it brings.
And that's the shallow side of me.
Okay,
yeah,
so
motherfuckers can talk it down.
So let me spin this a little bit, because I'm gonna play devil's. So let's say, for instance, for whatever reason, this person's disability went unbeknownst to you. Let's say their disability did, for whatever reason, go unbeknownst to you.
I'm too nosy for that, but okay.
No. But let's say it does in the beginning. Let's say within the first 30 minutes of the conversation, it goes unbeknownst to you. And you really are enjoying this person. And he then turns and says to you, I really want to talk to you, but I got to tell you first, I'm disabled. How would you react to that?
I tapped out. I'm done. What's your disability?
What if his disability is a small bit? What if he's normal? What if he's normal from head to toe? Sexy nigga.
A disability is not normal, my nigga.
He got ED. He got ED. That's a disability. Erectile dysfunction.
ED? What's that? Educate me. What's ED? Educate me. Let me know. There might be something I can work with. ED, educate me.
No. There's nothing you can do.
Because you just said you don't do disability.
You said you don't do disability. What if his disability is, from head to toe, this nigga you fucking with. Everything. But as soon as he pulls his pants down, he tells you, hey,
I can't get hard.
It's not happening. You know what I'm saying? What you see is what you get.
Oh, so nigga,
and he's gonna
you
and
fucked up
and
you can't fuck me.
And he tells
you,
man, out of here. That, he says, I'm a shower, not a grower, and it ain't grown since like
7th grade.
Yeah, like 08.
Okay, now see, that's different. I can deal with a penis instead of a dick, but even though we all know, back tell him, I like dick, because there's a difference between penis and dick. I like dick, but at the same time, if you have a itty bitty titty weeny little bitty bikini, that's not, you know what I'm saying? My nigga. Regardless,
are you really gonna fuck with him?
Regardless,
the long
real
way,
talk.
The long way.
Yeah, I swear
are you
to God, on everything.
4 or 5 years, damn. Are you, and not
5 years?
Nigga.
I'm not supposed to deal with a handicapped motherfucker for 5 years. The fuck?
And then an ugly nigga with a big dick comes to you in the club. Would you cheat on your cute nigga?
In a wheelchair.
You know what I'm saying? He'll say he got big dick in a wheelchair.
I'm taking the ugly nigga with the big dick that's gonna fuck the shit out of me and dog me out. Instead of fucking with the nigga, real talk, I'm gonna fuck with the ugly nigga in the club that's gonna fuck me and dog me out instead of fucking with the nigga in the club that's in the motherfucking wheelchair. I'm too shallow for handicap disability. I don't give a fuck what nobody else think or feel or how they say about it.
I'm
too shallow for that. I can't do it.
I'm glad you said that, because a lot of women take disability out the equation. A lot of women today, you know what I'm saying, they sit back, and when a dude, even a thug nigga, gives you some respect, goes out there, you know what I'm saying, you don't go fuck with the next nigga. You just said it. This guy, you just said it. If Denzel Washington is in a wheelchair and he got a small dick, but he got Denzel Washington money,
I would not go out with a nigga in a wheelchair.
Gorgeous is broke. And he wasn't at Jack in the Box. But he got that good long stroke. He got that good dick.
I wouldn't get
–
that's my whole – and that's my whole point. I wouldn't even get to that. I wouldn't know about his long stroke. I wouldn't know about none of that because, first of all, when he rolled the fuck up to me – because you said a nigga in a wheelchair. When he rolled the fuck up to me, I make it known. You're so cute. Had you been on actual legs, it probably actually something could have taken place. But being that you sitting in this motherfucker, being that you sitting in this motherfucking table chair with wheels, my nigga, I'm good. I've never made that a secret. I don't do disabled. I don't do handicapped. I don't do motherfuckers that don't got all they motherfucking digits. I don't do motherfuckers with milky eyes. The extra big ass motherfucking forehead. I don't do handicapped or disabled. And there's absolutely nothing. The closest and no lie to you. Real talk, not being disrespectful and out of line. And I know I might get some backlash from this, but the only way I could do disabled or what they call handicapped, my nigga, real talk, is a motherfucker who's autistic. Because truth be told to me, the way they look at shit is the way I look at shit. Because life is life. There's no black or white. There's no gray area. It's either black or white.
Saying. Okay, so Donald Trump.
Fuck Cheeto Cuz don't count. He married a whole motherfucking prostitute that don't even motherfucking like him. Fuck him. He don't count. I'm gonna need you to find another motherfucker.
He said he married his bottom bitch. Wait a minute. Whoa. He married his bottom. He married his bottom bitch, and you're mad because he married his bottom? Off of everything else he's done, you're mad as a black woman for him marrying his bottom, the Russian bitch? Don't even speak English.
I'm not mad about him marrying a prostitute. Because truth be told, what other bitch did
right
what
now?
She did? Real talk, when it boils down, what other bitch?
Okay, before we get into politics, because that's not what we're doing. We're not talking about the president that's currently sitting in an impeachment trial. We're not doing that. And we're not throwing out random hypotheticals along those natures, because the reason why I don't like getting into hypotheticals, and this is why I made it a very specific question, is can you have sex with a handicapped person? Because handicapped, disabled are defined as two different things. A handicapped person is a person with true physical or mental disabilities, and the term disability covers all of those things. And when you look at it, there are so many different ways, but I spin it like this. Here's my spin. You are now a handicapped person. Let's spin it from this side, this standpoint. You are a handicapped person. You are now aroused, horny, turned on, ready to have sex. Is your preference another handicapped person like yourself, or do you desire going after a normal person, and why? You say fuck. What is your statement?
Okay. Okay, so me personally, based on what you said, me personally, how I am, who I am, the person I am, what I am, like I said, I can openly admit when it comes to something like that, I'm shallow. I'm very, very shallow about things like that, and I openly accept that. I'm even willing to accept the backlash that this radio show is going to bring me for that, but y'all know what I say every week. I don't give a fuck if nobody agrees with me, because guess what? I agree with me. This is my pussy. If I don't want a motherfucker with one leg to go up in it, guess what? He or she with one leg, because sex jerk, you know how I get now. He or she with one leg cannot get up in it. I'm sorry. And it has nothing to do with, I guess I can't say it has nothing to do with them personally, because that's just being shitty, but like, It's all on me. It has nothing to do with them. It's all on me. And personally, me personally, I cannot fuck with a handicapped or a fully disabled or a fully handicapped motherfucker. Like I said, I'm going to need you to have all of your arms. I'm going to need you to have all your legs. I'm going to need you to be able to walk. I'm going to need you to have all your digits. And when I say digits, you can't have half of a middle finger. Because I'm all the way shallow to that point. You see what I'm saying? So personally, no, I cannot do it. I will not do it. And I don't feel bad for that. There's motherfuckers out there that fuck the handicapped people. Nigga, go to them. Don't trip off me. Don't trip off the one me that's not willing to fuck you because you fucked up. Regardless of if it's your fault or not, you're fucked up. And being that you're fucked up, I'm not fucking with you. You see what I'm saying? So
yes, ma'am, I do.
That's my side, and that's my point. I'm too shy, and I will openly admit that. In Sex Jerk, we've had this conversation plenty of times, and I tell you, it's me. I'm too shallow for it. I'm too shallow for it. I'm not saying I'm the bombest bitch in the world, even though me and God think that I am. I'm not the bombest bitch in the world. You see what I'm saying? Although me and God think that I am, I'm not the bombest bitch in the world. You see what I'm saying? But at the same time, I have my right and I have my choice. And my choice is, my nigga, I don't give two fucks and half a motherfucking damn. If you are handicapped or you are disabled, this some pussy right here you cannot have. Don't even try to speak up on it. I'll be your friend. I hang with you. I even go to the club and dance with you in your wheelchair. But I'm going to fuck you.
Well, the disabled man loves you and wants to give you everything, his whole world. Tyler Perry Studios, you know what I'm saying? He loves you, honestly. But because he's got a small hand or he's disabled, you just said you would not give that man love.
But see, that's the thing, and I'm going to tell you why that don't count with me, because guess what? I'm one of those black girls. The parents that I grew up with, we had everything. We had everything. I grew up in motherfucking Torrance, California with my parents. We went on motherfucking summer vacations. We went on Christmas vacations. We had that life. We had that life. I've always had the best of every motherfucking thing. Real talk, my nigga. I've always had the best of everything. So when somebody comes with something extra, it don't enthuse me and it don't amuse me. Because guess what? I've had it already. So being with that said, I'm in a position right now that I can honestly say I don't give a fuck what you have. And most people might be like, oh, she's lying. She's lying. If a motherfucker with that don't have two legs and one arm come up to her and they got $65 million, guess what? I could not because I will not, because I'm uncomfortable with the situation. Personally, I'm uncomfortable with the situation. And I know it comes from a part of me being shallow. You see what I'm saying? Because let's keep it real. I'm a big bitch. If any of our viewers ever went to any of our page, they see I'm a big bitch. But at the same time, they also see how motherfucking cute I am and how pretty my motherfucking smile is. But that don't count.
Hold on.
I'm still a big bitch.
What you mean? Hold on. What you mean that don't count?
But personally, I will not, cannot, will not. The only disability I can deal with is being ugly. You can be ugly and I'll fuck with you. Because ugly niggas got good dick. Ugly bitches know how to eat the fuck out some pussy. But a motherfucker that's in a wheelchair, a motherfucker that's in a wheelchair, a motherfucker that only got two motherfucking fingers on one hand, a motherfucker that got a milky outside, nigga, no, fuck that. I'm too shallow for that shit. I'm too cute for that shit. What the fuck I look like walking down the street with you and I'm walking and you in a motherfucking wheelchair? The fuck? No.
You know,
period.
You know what? You said something in your comment just now. I'm going to kind of get off topic for a second for that, because there's something you said that I think is extremely, extremely funny to me. Is
okay.
And I know I'm going to get some backlash for this statement that I'm about to put out. But it's funny because, you know, sexually I have been with, supermodel esque women, and I've been with, you know, a couple of treasure trolls.
Yeah, you done fucked some fire bitches, some bitches that I didn't even told you. Like, nigga, what the fuck is she gonna be at the next the gathering? Yeah, you done fucked some fire bitches. I give you that. Yeah.
He has sex with an actual handicapped person. Yeah, you know I'm saying? We can get into that. We can take a commercial break if we need to, but I got my guy, True Life Story, Mikey Adventures, you know what I'm saying? And come a guy right here, you know what I'm saying? We're going to call him, you know what I'm saying, Dub P, you know what I'm saying? He's going to tell a story about actually having sex with, you know what I'm saying, an actual, physically full-on, 100% person. I hope you understand your listeners are ready. You ready? Dub P, you ready?
Sure.
He said it's whatever. He's going to tell you a story. And then after that. The world.
I'm sorry. I didn't catch his name. I'm sorry. Mikey B, I'm sorry. I didn't catch his name. I'm sorry. I didn't catch his name. I apologize.
They're saying Dub P. You know what I'm saying? But Wendy, I want to get in Dub, like WP.
Oh, Dub P. Okay. I apologize.
Dub P.
My bad.
You know what I'm saying? But you know what I'm saying? But I want to get back into this because of what if a man who is physically disabled really fucking loves you, is giving you more than any man has ever given you? I want to know about that.
Hello? I'm here. What?
I'm here.
What happened?
I don't know. I think we got cut out.
Okay. I just wanted to. I tell you what, open air and open space, that means all of us are at a loss. So how about our callers call in and tell us what they think about it? Could you deal with somebody, whether it was for pay or whether it was for love or whether it was from just somebody that you admire? Could you deal with somebody that was disabled or somebody that was fully and completely, totally handicapped? You guys call in and you let us know. What are you thinking? But until the callers call in, Mikey B, how about you finish your thought and where you were going?